get settled anyways.
Okay. So what I wanted to discuss with you was the relationship between the first day of Pesach and the last day of Pesach. And when I say the last day of Pesach, I mean Shvi Shel Pesach. And again, in Chutz La'aretz, you know, you add an extra day. The Torah singles out the last day of Pesach. It became very important. And that's why it says, Shivas Yomim Matzos Tochelu, Ach B'Yom HaRishon Tashbisu. And then it says, U'B'Yom HaRishon Mikra Kodesh, U'B'Yom HaShvi Mikra Kodesh. So we have what you might call bookends. The Mikra Kodesh applies to the first day, and the Mikra Kodesh applies to the last day. Again, let's just review what we know. There's something special about both the first day of Pesach and the last day of Pesach. They're both called Mikra Kodesh. And the question that we want to ask today is, what do they represent? Is there a sort of a deeper significance to the first day and the last day? Now, obviously, it goes without saying that what miracle do we commemorate on the first day, and what do we commemorate on the last day? Joe, can you help me out with that? What the first day would be called Yitzias? Excellent, Kriyas Yamsuf. So these are the two major milestones that form, if you will, the whole backbone of Chag HaPesach. And the question is, do these two events, you know, these absolutely stupendous events of the Yetzias Mitzrayim on the first day of Pesach, on the 15th of Nisan, and the Kriyas Yamsuf at the end of Yontif, meaning on the 7th day of Pesach, do they represent, in a sense, a synthesis of two categories of two types of miracles? Now, when you think about it, the Makos, which begin with Dam, they end with the most difficult and devastating Mako of Makas Bechoros. And that takes place on the night of the 15th. Paro, according to the Medrash, is banging on the doors of Aaron, of Moshe and Aaron. And the Pasuk says, Vayokom Paro Laila Hu V'chol Hu V'chol Avod V'chol Mitzrayim V'atehi Tza'oka Gedola B'Mitzrayim Ki Ein Bayis Asher Ein Shomes V'yikra L'Moshe L'Aaron. He summons them Laila in the middle of the night, Chazal say, V'yomer, and he says to them, Kumu Tzu'u Mitoch Ami Gam Atem Gam B'nei Yisrael L'chu Ivdu As Hashem Kidaberchem. In other words, he wants to beg Moshe and Aaron to terminate this terrible Makkah. He believes that the entire Mitzrayim is going to die from this Makkah, and he's willing to free the people of Israel, men, women, and children. Then we get to the second level, perhaps the crescendo of the Geula, of the redemption from Mitzrayim, and that's on the 7th day of Pesach. And it says over there, Vayachnu Lifnei Baal Tzfon, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Lema, Daber al Bnei Yisrael, V'yashuv V'yachnu Lifnei Piachiros, Bein Migdal Bein Ayom, Lifnei Baal Tzfon, Nichru Tachnu Al Ayom. And then it says, V'yomar Lifnei Yisrael, Nevuchim Heim Ba'aretz, Sagar Aleim, Hamidbar, V'chizakti Eslev Paro, V'rodaf Achreim, V'echabdo B'paro, V'chol Chelo, V'yedu Mitzrayim Ki Ani Hashem. Rashi says that why were they lifnei Baal Tzfon? Who nishar mikol Elohim Mitzrayim? This was the last god, the deity of Mitzrayim. Kidela to Osam, and this was there to fool them. Sheyomru kasha yir Osam, and this hataya is going to cause Paro to regret what he did. He had just agreed to let the people of Israel go, and now he's going to change his mind. And Vayugad Lemelech Paro ki Baruch Ha'am, Vayafach Levav Paro Vyavodav Elaham, Vayomer Mazol Sasinu, Kishilachnu Es Yisrael Miavdenu, Vayasores Rechbo Vyasamo, Lakachimo, Vayikach Shesh Meos Rechem Bachur, Vichol Rechem Mitzrayim Ushlishim Al Kulo, Vayachazek Hashem Eslav Paro, Melech Mitzrayim. So So we know the end of the story as a result of the fact that Paro pursues the people of Israel, the entire military campaign here of Mitzrayim is going to go down to the bottom of the Yam Suf. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu really separates Yetzias Mitzrayim into two segments. The first is going to be the Yetziah on the night of Pesach, and then there's going to be a second Yetziah, which is the ultimate redemption. That's going to take place a week later on the last day of Pesach. So if we're going to try to find a reason, so to speak, again, we can't always, you know, speculate as to why God would have split the entire process into two. But we have to begin by understanding a little bit more about Kriyas Yam Suf. And we're going to speak about one dimension of Kriyas Yam Suf. It may seem like a secondary one, but let's see how Rabbeinu B'chai interprets this. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe. So now we're in the thick of Parshas B'shalach. We're at the Yam Suf. Matetzak Elai, Daber B'nei Yisro V'Yisro. V'ato HaRemes Matcha. We're talking about the Mata of Moshe. Uneteyes Yodcha Al Hayom. Now there's something strange going on here. On the one hand, Hashem tells Moshe to grab on to the matah and lift the matah. On the other hand, he says, Uniteyes Yodcha Alayom, which sounds like what's going to split the yam is going to be the yad of Moshe. Because then it says, Ubokeu, Bikaeu. And then it says that Bnei Yisrael go into the yam by Yabosha, and the whole story with the Malach Hashem and the Amud Hanan, the Amud Achreyem, and then Mitzrayim goes in, and we know the rest of the story. So Rabbeinu B'chai, which you'll see on the top left of your first page, he says in the name of the Medrash, that on this pasuk, V'atoha remes matcha, v'uneteyes yodcha al hayom ubekaheu, that all the other makos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought on the Mitzrayim, through Moshe Rabbeinu, were Al Yedea Mata, was through the Mata itself. And that we have back in the Parsha Shmos, V'esa Mata Zet Tikach B'yodcha Shetasebo Esa Osos. Therefore, Kriyas Yam Suf, like all the other miracles that were brought about through Moshe, would be through the vehicle, through the means of the Mata. Fine. So Kriyas Yam Suf, Moshe is commanded to split the Yam with the Mata. But if you read the pasuk carefully, as we said before, he's not really splitting the Yam with the Mata. He's only grabbing onto the Mata, lifting it up. But then it's the Tei Yad Chal Hayom Ubokehu. And Rabbeinu B'chai wants to make this a big, big point over here, that Kriyas Yam Suf is different than all the other miracles, insofar as Moshe splits the Yam with Yado, with his hand, not with the Mata. And he says the following, this is Rabbeinu B'chai, Ein lohaven hakosuv hazeh sheyorim Moshe's mateo layam. In other words, Moshe's commanded to lift the mata, but it doesn't mean that he's commanded to lift the mata on and split the yam. Sharei, because if it would have been so, it should have said, Vayet Moshe es yado. I'm saying, it doesn't say, Vayet Moshe es yado, but rather it says, Harem es matcha. And says Rabbeinu B'chai, what that means is lisalko miyado. Lift up the staff and then drop it. And why is this so? Why does Moshe Rabbeinu at this particular juncture get the mandate from Hashem that he should drop the matah? Because those who are weak in faith would claim, Ein koch biad Moshe likros hayam. It's not Moshe Rabbeinu who's splitting the sea, but rather it's the Mata that has the koach. There's some power that's inherent in the Mata. And therefore Hashem says, Haremis Matcha, which according to the Rabbeinu B'chai means Salkeu Miyodcha, lift it up and get rid of it. And to prove his point, Rabbeinu B'chai quotes a Medrash, Amru Yisrael en koch biad Moshe lasos dover zel ha-mata. It's only the Mata that has the inherent power to split the Yam. Bohika Sayor, Bohevius Kola Makos, all the Eser Makos were brought about through the Mata. So it's really not Moshe Rabbeinu's power. Kevon shebo liyam mitzriyim v'yisrael omdim. Amalei HaKadosh Baruch HaRemes Matcha shelo yomru ilmalei hamata lo ayochel lekros hayam. Moshe Rabbeinu is commanded to lift the mata and then split the waters, because if he lifts the mata and the waters split, then they can again claim that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have the power to split the yam. It was really the mata that split the yam. Alkein hitzurach lomar vayamidu b'Hashem uv'Moshe avdo. Right before the end of this whole episode of the great miracle of the splitting the yam, it says vayamidu b'Hashem uv'Moshe avdo. Matal v'lomar v'lok v'nevar v'yamena am. Right when Moshe Rabbeinu first showed up and he presented his credentials to the people, they believed in him. So why again do they have to say they believed in Moshe? Elefisha chazru v'lo haminu. They had a second thought, second wind. It's hutzach lomar she'achsha b'kriyas yamsuf haminu. Why did they have a second wind? Because they thought it's not really Moshe that's doing these miracles, it's the mata. Now, the phrase that the Midrash uses is Mechusrei Amuna Shebi Yisrael, those who are lacking in faith. And you'll see this in Rabbeinu Bechai as well. He says, Mechusrei Amuna Shebi Yisrael. These were the ones who were saying about Moshe Rabbeinu, Ein Koch Biad Moshe Likros Hayam, he doesn't have the power to split the water. Ha'im Lasos Osum Mosim Biyata Shebi Yodcha. Now let's just think. Is it less of a miracle if Moshe is able he has the control over the mata, and he's able to split the water with the mata? That's what he can do. So let's read it inside. He says, "Upachos pele milasel som biyado." Is it less amazing if he is able to split the water with the staff than it is if he does with his yad? To such an extent that Hashem has to command Moshe to get rid of the mata. Laharves hamata l'salko. Well, what's the big difference? Imagine two different miracles. Let's compare them. One miracle is that Moshe splits the yam with the mata. The other miracle is that Moshe splits the yam with his yad. Is one less miraculous than the other? More miraculous than the other? You're trying to undermine the belief, or I should say the lack of belief, of the Mechusrei Amuna Shebi Yisrael. So it's not enough for Moshe to split the yam with his mata? Now here you and I would answer, well, if he splits the yam with the mata, they're going to say that, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu, like there were the Chartume Paro, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu has control over the mata. He knows how to use the mata. But that doesn't really prove anything about the power of Moshe Rabbeinu.
Well,
yeah.
Would everybody goes along this mahalach? Nobody's saying that it was really for Moshe that they were doing that Hashem did it. In other words, that Moshe he himself, his humility he's pushing it towards the mata. He wants that nobody should think of him as having the koch, and he's the one who's really and Hashem's forcing him to put it on himself to show that it's actually him. Nobody goes along that route.
Well, look, everything you said is correct, Joe, but you're introducing another element which might be true as well, and that's the humility of Moshe Rabbeinu. We're operating without that concept of the humility of Moshe Rabbeinu. We're operating with the concept that Moshe was given the mata, and from the beginning till the end, already at the snare, he was given the mata. And all the miracles came about through the mata. So just naively, I would say that Moshe Rabbeinu assumed that just like all the other miracles were brought about through the mata, this one as well. Is that a matter of humility? I don't know. I would say leave out humility at this point. Just think about the fact that the entire process and all the mandates that Moshe got from the get-go until now to bring about these miracles were always with the mata. Over and over again, Hashem says, take the mata. So Moshe, without getting into humility, Moshe Rabbeinu assumed, unless he knows otherwise, that once again he's going to split the yam with the mata. What we're trying to figure out is, How did we quiet down these mechusar amuna? In other words, Hashem says, get rid of the mata to Moshe Rabbeinu because of these mechusar amuna. Well, guess what? Who cares about the mechusar amuna? And even if you do care about them, are you going to convince them because Moshe uses his arm instead of using the staff that he's holding in his hand? Like, what's the difference? What's the big nafkamina? We're talking about a pella. What difference does it make if it's this pella or that pella? Again, you could possibly answer that that maybe there was so much sorcery going on there that they would suspect Moshe of being a sorcerer. I don't know. But it's a little bit odd that, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to change the whole plan because of these Mechusrei Amuna. So again, let's just see. What I suggest we do is, I always say a question is as good as the answer. Meaning, you can probably survive with this question. You can live with this question. Most of us has lived with this question for most of our life. And we didn't lose any sleep over it. But if we get a good answer to the question, then it was worth asking the question. So what we want to do today is we want to turn the clock back basically about 120 years ago. And this is a famous drasha that was given for the last day of Pesach by the Sfas Emes, the great giant and leader of Hasidic thought and Hasidus in general. And he wants to split between Yetzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf in a very fundamental way. He says that Kriyas Yamsuf that Yetzias Mitzrayim represents Torah Shebichtav, And Kriyas Yamsuf represents Torah Shebaal Peh. I mean, my high, like, what's going on over here? You know, this is like, if I told you this, you'd tell you this is crazy, you know. So he says the following. This you'll find on page 2 if you happen to be looking at the text. He says that before Yetzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf is Yetzias Mitzrayim was Osios Shebichtav. Alright? That's why it represents Torah Shebichtav. For example, we have a mitzvah saseh of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. We have to verbalize that on a daily basis. Kriyas Yamsuf, on the other hand, becomes a preparation for Bnei Yisrael receiving Torah Shebaal Peh. Now, where do we see Torah Shebaal Peh? In Yetzias Mitzrayim. So we're going to fast forward. I meant to say in Kriyas Yamsuf. So we're going to fast forward to the Shira, which Bnei Yisrael break out in song after the great miracle of Kriyas Yamsuf. And it says, Uleman tesaper bi'ozne bincho ben mincho, ki higidu Bnei Yisrael b'koach ha'shira azos l'doros, at the beginning of the Shira, there's an extra word, Lamar. And the word Lamar indicates transmission, otherwise known as Torah Shebaal Peh. Again, this is a very, very difficult Sfas Emes, and we're going to have to try to figure out what he means here. But basically what he's saying is that what you see at Kriyas Yamsuf, at the Shira, is the personification of what he calls Torah Shebaal Peh, the transmission of the Torah. Now, what is it all about? Okay, we want to understand a number of things. Number one, why is Yetzias Mitzrayim called Torah Shebichtav? Why is Kriyas Yamsuf called Torah Shebaal Peh? And why is it so critical, Ve'omru Lemar, that the transmission of the Torah is inherent in the Shira itself? And he says the following. There's a famous Chassam Sofer, and when I say famous, I mean to say that you and I have heard of it, not everybody else did. And he says about Kriyas Yamsuf, Daber al Bnei Yisrael v'Yisov, meaning there's something in Kriyas Yamsuf which demonstrates and publicizes the power of Chachmei HaTorah, the amazing power of Chachmei HaTorah. They have the power of Torah Shebaal Peh. And it's unbelievable because the Gemara establishes in Masechta Yevamos that the Chachamim could be Oker Davar Min HaTorah. In other words, if you want to weigh on the scale Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaalpeh and figure out which has more authority and which has more power, it's going to be Torah Shebaalpeh. And I'll prove it to you. Because the Chachmei HaMesorah have the ability to be Oker Davar Min HaTorah. They can literally undermine a law that's written in the Torah. That proves that Torah Shebaalpeh is greater than Torah Shebichtav. And that's why, if you recall the Gemara in Makkos, that Rava makes fun of those who stand in front of a Sefer Torah, but they don't stand in front of a Talmud Chacham, because the Talmud Chacham is even greater than the Sefer Torah. That's the Torah Shebaalpeh element. Now, it's possible that the Chassam Sofer was standing on the shoulders of the Ramban and Rabbeinu Bachai regarding a different question. There's a major controversy between the Ramban and Rabbeinu Bachai on one hand and Rashi on the other hand. Two different shittas. And we're talking about the pasuk at Kriyas Yamsuf that describes the Amida of the Anani HaKovid. What does that mean? It says, Vayisa malach alokim ha'olech lifnei machnei Yisrael vayelech me'achareyem Vayisa amuda anan lifneyem vayamod me'achareyem vayavo bein machnei Mitzrayim ubein machnei Yisrael. So we have here two amudim, if you notice it. There's one amud hanan, and then it says, vayamod me'achareyem, and that's the amud ha'esh. Or perhaps, if it says the Amud Ha'an was Mipneyem, Vayamod Me'achreyem, then it could be quite possible that the Anani HaKavod would now sort of recede, and they would move backwards, you know, sort of retreat, I guess is a better word, and they would be above Klal Yisrael from the back, from the Achareyem. Whereas the Amud Ha'esh goes forward, in order to clear the path for them and light up the sky for them, that's the Amud Ha'esh. And now we have two Amudim. We have the Amud Ha'esh, which is Lifneyem, and the Amud Ha'anan, which is Lachreyem. Oh. So first what happens is, Klal Yisrael's in formation, ready to move, ready to march, and the Amud Ha'esh stands behind them, and things are changing now. All of a sudden, the Amud Ha'esh is changing positions. Normally, it goes in front of the Machne, and we follow it. Here, the Amud Ha'esh all of a sudden takes up a back position, Me'achorei Machne Yisrael. And afterwards, the Amud Ha'anan goes ahead, Me'achorei Amud Ha'esh. What does that mean? So you've got what we call a hefsek. You have, excuse me, the Machne Yisrael is going forward. Behind them in hot pursuit is the Machne Mitzrayim. And now we need a hefsek. We need something to separate between the Machne Yisrael and the Machne Mitzrayim. What is going to play that role of a mafsek? It's going to be the two Amudim. First going to be the Amud Ha'anan. And then it's going to be the Amud Ha'esh. The Amud Ha'anan is going to be juxtaposed in that space between Machne Yisrael and Machne Mitzrayim. It's going to be juxtaposed closer to the rear, meaning to Machne Mitzrayim. And what is the purpose of the Amud Ha'anan standing, positioning itself right in front of the Machne Mitzrayim, behind Machne Yisrael? That's called Lahachshich Aleihem Es Halayla. The cloud is going to cover the stars. There won't be any light whatsoever from anywhere, and they're going to be in pure darkness. The Amud Ha'esh, on the other hand, Amad Lifnei Amud Ha'anan, so that's immediately behind the Machne Yisrael. And the purpose of that is that the light jumps forward. And the light from the Amud Ha'esh is going to illuminate the area above or going forward from Bnei Yisrael, and that's what we have. So we have the Amud Ha'anan, which is going to protect Bnei Yisrael from the rear, It's going to darken the Machne Mitzrayim. They're going to be in pitch black. And then we have the Amud Ha'esh, which is which is forward, and that's going to light up. That's going to light up the road and the path for Klal Yisrael. Now, what does the Chasam Sofer here trying to tell us? Now we start with the Ramban and Rabbeinu Bachai that the Amud Belel Kriyas Yamsuf Amdi Yisrael Fnei Stira. Oh, I see. Okay, there's a strange word over here. He says be also mamud. So don't read it as Amud. Read it as mamud. Which what he's trying to say is that what is the status of Bnei Yisrael on the night of Kriyas Yamsuf? There seems to be a bit of a contradiction. And that is that the Anani HaKavod, which normally would go forward above the Machne Yisrael, and now it goes behind the Machne Yisrael. The Amudei Anani HaKavod, Shehochu Lifnei Machne Yisrael, Hu HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyochu, Shenis Labesh BaAnani HaKavod. So the essence of the Anani HaKavod is going to be the Shechina of HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
I'm just trying to understand this.
Yeah.
Usually the Amud Ha'esh is in front of Bnei Yisrael as they're traveling, and the Amud Ha'anan is behind it. At Yom Suf, what happened?
No, what happens is that both Amudim reposition them. Excuse me. Both Amudim reposition themselves.
Okay, how is it usually?
Usually it's there in front of Machne Yisrael.
Both of them are in front?
Both. And now they both move behind Machne Yisrael. The Amud Ha'anan moves all the way to the Machne Mitzrim, of front of the Machne Mitzrim, and that's going to darken their light. And then the Amud Ha'esh is going to be closer to the Machne Yisrael, and it's going to illuminate the path for Machne Yisrael. So the Egyptians are in darkness, and Bnei Yisrael are in light. And now we're going to talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu inside the Anani HaKavod, meaning the Shechina is inside the Anani HaKavod. Because the Pasuk says, V'Hashem Olech Lifneim Yomam B'Amud Anan L'Nachosim HaDerech V'Laila B'Amud HaEish L'Hoyer Lehem L'Leches Yomam V'Laila. So in other words, it's like this. On a regular basis, except for that night, the Amud HaAnan would go in front of Bnei Yisrael. And that would be a guide, so to speak, to guide Bnei Yisrael through the desert and tell them exactly in what path they should go on. Now, the Amud Ha'esh would replace the Amud Ha'anan during the 12 hours of darkness, of night. So now, during the daytime, the Amud Ha'anan would guide the people of Israel. At night, the Amud Ha'anan would be Mistalek, and in its place would be the Amud Ha'esh Lohayer Blahem, and that would give them the light that they needed. So when Bnei Yisrael are traveling behind the Anani HaKavod, that means that they're fulfilling what's called Torah Shebichsav. Why is that called Torah Shebichsav? Because Torah Shebichsav is always represented by day, and Torah Shebaalpeh is represented by night. And he says the following: on the night of Pesach, things got switched around. At Kriyas Yamsuf, there's a Stira Gedola. What's a Stira Gedola? On the one hand, the Anani HaKavod were traveling Lifnei Machne Yisrael during the rest of the year, and now they went Bachareim. And therefore, Klal Yisrael should have been Misrachik Me'ayam, and they should have gone back and followed the Anani HaKavod. Because again, the Bnei Yisrael are always commanded to follow the Anani HaKavod. If the Anani HaKavod now are behind them, facing, as it were, the Mitzrim, then now Klal Yisrael should have turned around you know, full 180 degree turnaround in order to follow the Ananiya covenant. But on the other hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe to command the people, Daber el b'nei Yisrael v'Yisrael. They should go forward. So what do we do in this case? It's like Shnei Ksuvim HaMachishim Zetzeh. He says, Hine, Hoy Yisrael Yichol Lomar L'Moshe Ein Anu Chafetzim L'Shmah B'Kolcha. We're not interested in listening to what you have to say to move forward inside the Yam. We want to go Me'achori Hashem, we always go behind Hashem. And if Hashem is in the Ananiya covenant, and now he's turning in the opposite direction, we're going to follow him. That's what they came forward with that claim. Or at least they could have come forward with that claim. So the Chasam Sofer says the following. For this reason, when the Torah says, I mean, this is a pasuk in Ksuvim, it says, Vayimru Aleihem B'Yamsuf, there was some sort of rebellion that took place at Yam Suf. It's that the Bnei Yisrael didn't want to listen to the call of Moshe. Moshe said, keep going forward. But they said, well, we would go forward if there was an Ananiya covenant. But there's no Ananiya covenant. And therefore, the Ratzon Hashem is to follow the Ananiya covenant. It's always been like that. Now Moshe Rabbeinu, you're telling me, no, in this case, we're not going to follow the Ananiya covenant. And the people of Israel are perplexed. I mean, how do we know that we should be listening and we should be obedient? Maybe we should be doing exactly what we did all the time, and that is to follow in the footsteps of the Ananiya covenant. And if that be the case, we have to turn around, the full swing around. Now again, this was only what I call the rabble rousers. You know, this was the riffraff. Your average rank and file member of Klal Yisrael went into the Yam. And why is that? Vayaminu b'Hashem uv'Moshe avdo. They relied totally, they had total faith on Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore, in that tzchus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually went ahead and split the Yam. So it means because of this tzivui, is Bikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu laharal to Yisrael, HaKoach HaNifla Shemosel and Moshe Rabbeinu. In other words, and this is a pretty profound statement here. I'm going to try to explain it the best I can. He's saying that when Hashem commands the people Yiso, meaning go forward, and that's what Moshe Rabbeinu transmits. Well, that's pretty amazing, because in Torah Shebichtav, what we know is that we have to follow in the footsteps of the Amud right, of the Amud Hanan. But Moshe tells us otherwise. So what do? And what we have in front of us now is, on a deeper level, is a confrontation between Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaal Peh. The Torah Shebichtav clearly indicates that we have to follow the Amud Hanan. That would be the Torah Shebichtav. Now again, normally, you know, the Amud Hanan would propel us forward. But theoretically, the Amud Hanan could tell us to go backwards. Maybe even to go back to Mitzrayim. And that's what the Bnei Yisrael were used to. They were trained. You know, they were habitually trained in this way. And now, Moshe Rabbeinu is telling them, Pungfakya, just the opposite. Forget about following the Amud Hanan. Less up it. The Amud Hanan is doing what it's doing. It's not wasting its time. So again, as far as the Rov of Bnei Yisrael and the Miut of Bnei Yisrael, the Rov of Bnei Yisrael understood with great faith that what's ever happening here is for the sake of Hashem. Heminu shekol mashu osakenu rotzen Hashem. So they accepted the Torah Shebaal Peh of Moshe Rabbeinu. And those who believed in Moshe Rabbeinu, despite that contradiction, they brought about the ultimate salvation of Klal Yisrael. B'zchusom korach HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sayom. Nimtzo ki al yedei tzivui zeh, bikesh HaKadosh Baruch laharos l'Yisrael, hakoach hanifla, shemosa l'moshe rabbeinu v'shar chachmi, hatorah shebal peh b'chol dor v'dor, sheyesh b'kocham lakor dvar Torah l'tzoch shoah. And now we have a yesod, which is going to reappear and resurface time after time, and that is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to indicate and wants to reveal the amazing power of Moshe Rabbeinu, Koach HaNifla. Now, if that be the case, what we understand here is that the Anani HaKavod are going to operate in the opposite function. Instead of guiding the way for Klal Yisrael to move forward, it was the Anan HaKavod would be busy with the Mitzrim. So let's read the Chasam Sofer, because I think there's a very important ethical message in the words of the Chasam Sofer. That's what I want to take out of this year. Hine Ksuv. The Pasuk says in Tehillim, we don't have such a concept in Tanakh, except for Tehillim. Vayamru al yam b'yam suf. There was some sort of rebellion at Yam Suf, at the moment of Kriyas Yam Suf. So what was this rebellion? So he says the following. Midarko meyoz yotzu tzrayim eminu b'Hashem v'holchu l'chol mokom asher yisa shama ha'anan. So from the time that Moshe Rabbeinu appeared in Mitzrayim, the people of Israel knew to have emunah in Hashem. And that's what he calls v'holchu l'chol mokom asher yisa shama ha'anan. In other words, if you have faith, then you believe that wherever the Anan is taking you, that's where you have to go. So they would always fight, you know, with absolute faith and a commitment to Emunah, they would follow all the Kalim, and they would follow the Amud Anan. And that was the Derech from the time they left Mitzrayim. Now, you might say, well, maybe in the Midbar there's a different set of rules. No, the same set of rules apply in the Midbar. They're going to follow the leader, and the leader here is the Amud Hanan. Now, if that be the case, it's as if they heard Torah Shebichsav. When they saw the Anan, Nosei Lefneim, they saw that the Anan went in front of Bnei Yisrael, Vayaminu, and they had belief, they had faith, and they followed him. Now, with regard to the Yam, according to the Ramban, there were two Ananim. This is really interesting. According to the Ramban, even though, as a general rule, both Ananim went forward, but in this case, the message seems to be that they should be going backwards. So, Rabbi, do you hear what's going on here? As the Ramban is telling us, that since the Anan HaKavod are now behind the people of Israel, Hayolahem Lachzor Liachareim, they should have followed the Anan HaKavod. Yet, where would they end up? Back in Mitzrayim. So Moshe Rabbeinu intervenes, and he says, "Hayom lo tisu el makom anan." Today you're not going to follow the anan. El yikfitzu elayam. If need be, you'll jump into the waters. So that's what it means when it says in Tehillim, "Vayamru." What was the pasuk again? "Vayamru al yam biyam suf." What does that mean? Vayamru al yam biyam suf. Ki eich yishmu el Moshe. This group of people, these squawkers, these dissenters, understood that how could they listen to Moshe? It's not Shaykh. It's against Hashem. Hashem is in the Anan Me'achreyem. I mean, then for sure we have to follow Hashem. U'mikomakom nitzeach Moshe. Despite the fact that these people were squawking and dissenting and saying, let's follow Hashem, let's move forward, nevertheless, Moshe Rabbeinu is the eternal victor. He is the one who can claim victory. And that's a big, well, where I come from, you know, claiming victory is not such a big deal because everybody claims victory. But anyway, he says, Nitzach Moshe Rabbeinu v'nasu ubo el hayam. So this is amazing that Moshe Rabbeinu is telling them to go forward when the Anani HaKovet are telling them to go backwards, and by going forward they're going into the Yam Suf. And the Torah Shebichsav of the mandate of Hashem throughout the entire history of Yetzias Mitzrayim is to follow the Anani HaKovet. What is this all going to prove? This is going to prove that we have a mitzvah to listen to our Chachamim. And that is what Torah Shebaal Peh is all about. Mitzvah Lishma V'Divrei Chachamim. Now again, the Chiddush here is that we are going to listen to the Divrei Chachamim even if it means violating the Dvar Torah. And that's the principle that I mentioned before, the Gemara in Yevamos, Yesh Koch Biat Chachamim, Lakar Dover Min HaTorah. So the Torah itself is saying, go forward. As if the Anani HaKovid were in front of the Machne, the Torah Shebaal Peh is telling them, wait a second, what do you mean? The Anani HaKovid are in the back. And even though the Torah Shebichsav always tells you to go forward, that's because the Anani HaKovet are forward. But now if the Anani HaKovet is in the back, then you should be turning backwards. No. The answer is that Moshe Rabbeinu tells them that that is not so. That we have to go forward, even though A, it means we go into the Yam Suf, and B, even though it means that we are... Just 1 second, what did I say? The first chiddush here is that we're going to go forward even though it means going into the Yam. And the second chiddush is that instead of following the Anani HaKovet, which we always did, we're going to leave the Anani HaKovet behind us, pay no attention. And there were people who were not happy with this. Vayamru alayam v'yamsuf. How can they listen to Moshe against the tzivui of Hashem that we follow the Anani HaKovet? And if the Anani HaKovet in the back, we got to turn around and go backwards. No. Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be successful. And Vishoftu, and they would judge Moshe Rabbeinu. Oh. Sorry. Can you still hear me? Can you still see me to follow the Anani HaKovet, and then you have on the other side, you have Moshe Rabbeinu telling them to go forward into the Yam Suf while the Anani HaKovet are telling them to go backwards, or at least the mandate of Hashem to listen to the Anani HaKovet would tell them to go backwards. So the people of Israel were split into two groups. There was one group that Vayamru, Al-Yam V'Yamsuf. That was a smaller party. But the major parties were in favor of going forward. And that is because they believed in Moshe Rabbeinu. And it all comes down to Vayaminu B'Hashem of Moshe Avdo. Even Lavar Al-Divrei Torah, they would believe in Moshe Rabbeinu. This is the amazing chiddush of the Chassam Sofer. Again, you and I would have learned this parasha a million times without even dreaming of such a thing. And yesh b'koch b'yad chachamim lakar dover min haTorah. Wow. So we begin to understand that Yetzias Mitzrayim is now split into two parts. You know, the Tesvav B'Nisan part is just the culmination of everything we've had until now. That's called Torah Shebichsav. But now with the Kriyas Yam Suf, which means that we got to go forward into the Yam and leave the Anan Yaakov behind us, that's already Torah Shmalpeh. That's already Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore we have a separation here between the two great parts or segments of Chag HaPesach. There's the opening part, that's Yetzias Mitzrayim, and then we have the closing part, the bookends, which is going to be Torah Shmalpeh. That's Kriyas Yam Suf. Okay, now, since it's getting a little late, let's see if we can fast forward a little bit.
Drop on the answer.
Yeah, right. He says the following.
Matt, one question before you start with that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so according to Rabbi Mechaya, the stick was put down to show that there wasn't the stick doing the miracle, right?
Right.
So wouldn't it have been a bigger nace to not pick up a stick at all and just raise his hand and say he's absolutely the sea? Like what? Why does picking up a stick show? Just leave the stick up.
Not picking up the stick, but throwing the stick. In other words,
not picking up at all would have been a bigger miracle. Maybe no.
No, I think what he's saying is that he had to be a public demonstration that it's not the staff. I'm going to show it to you.
Right.
Here's the staff and drop it. That act of dropping the staff was, in a sense,
a physical action to prove.
Correct. It was a demonstration.
It's always much more than
right. It was a public demonstration that Moshe Rabbeinu was leaving the staff behind. And according to Rabbeinu Bachai, this is all part of Vayaminu b'Moshe, to establish the Amunah in Moshe Rabbeinu, which the Chasam Sofer identifies that Amunah as Torah Shemal Peh. So when we put together the insights of Rabbeinu Bachai together with the insights of the Chasam Sofer, we see that the holiday of Shvi Shel Pesach, the Mikroi Kodesh, is all about Torah Shemal Peh. It's all about the power of the Chachamim and the Yesh Koch Biyad Chacham Lakar Dover Min HaTorah.